6. Probably going to be the scripture he's going to preach out of, because I know what's in his heart. Because I listen. I sit under and I listen to what God's saying through him. In verse 33, last night, Bert brought this out and said, if you want to know the strategy of success, it's right there. How many of y'all want to be successful in everything you do? How many of y'all want to be blessed in everything you do? It's real simple. Two things. You've got to seek two things. Seek first the kingdom of God. Isn't that what it says? Not your own agendas, your own ways, but the kingdom of God. God's rule and God's reign and God's realm in your life. It's not a geographical location. It's a place that you position yourself under the king. He's the king of the kingdom. You come under him as a servant, but not just a servant, but as a serving son. Isn't that awesome? And then it says, in his righteousness, the righteousness that comes to him by faith in him. And when we see him and believe in him, then we do things his way. The right way of living. Amen? Then it says, everything else that you seek will be added to you. Isn't that pretty simple? Formula for success right there. One scripture. Let's learn to seek first the kingdom of God. Amen? And his righteousness, his way of doing things, his gift of righteousness that we receive by faith in him. And everything else that we seek, that we think we need, God's just going to pour it out on us. The blessings will catch you up if you'll seek his face first. Amen? Well, I'm not going to take any more time. I want y'all to know this man right here loves me, and I love him. And y'all have made such a tremendous difference in Mary and I's lives over the years. And we appreciate all that you have done to help us accomplish the purpose of God and plan of God for our lives. So come right now and speak into the heart and the lives of the church this morning, Papa. We love you. Y'all receive him this morning.
Praise God. Thank you, son. Amen. Well, God's good. One old boy said, time's going to come to an end, so it's God's good evermore. Eternity. Not just all the time, because did you know the Bible says that that time is coming to an end? One day you and I will step into a place called eternity, and there will be no more time. It'll always be now. Hallelujah. Well, yeah, I could have started with Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but since he read it, I won't again. But I want to pick up on something that Pastor Ronnie said. Go with me in your Bibles to Psalms 32. Actually, what he said, what he spoke about, was about God guiding you with his eye. And that's true. The book says that. But, well, let's read. Psalms 32, verse 8. Father, I thank you today for your goodness and your kindness. I thank you for this people and this place. I thank you, Father, that your spirit is welcomed here. Your purpose and your power is released here in the hearts and minds of these your people. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalms 32, verse 8, God says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Did you know God's got some mule-headed kids? You say, oh, now you ought not to talk about us like that. Well, God said, don't be like the mule. There must have been a reason he said that. Now, let me tell you a little story. There may be somebody, is anybody in here that's a rodeo rider or is a horse rider, trains horses? Okay. Now, I'm not, but I read. I read one time that a horse can be trained to go just where his rider looks. Is that true, sister? You know how come that horse can go where that rider looks? It's because that horse's eyes are on the side of his head and he can see behind himself. He can see who's sitting on him and he can see where you're looking. And you, the rider, can guide the horse with your eye. Now, some horses are trained to go just whichever way the rider leans. Is that true? I'm not a rider or a horseman, but I read, so I know. God said, don't be like the horse that has to have a bridle. You be like one that lets me guide you with my eye, that you go where I'm looking. Well, now, that's a good thing. But did you know, sister, that horse don't come knowing how to do that. He has to be trained, doesn't he? Having a relationship. Make the horse your friend. Be a friend of the horse. Did you know God wants to be your friend? Amen. God in the Bible calls Abraham his friend. The devil has convinced most of the world that God's not friendly. That is exactly right. That's not true. It's a lie. God is friendly. But he's very narrow in the way he does stuff. If you're going to do it with God, you're going to do it his way. But we mostly don't know how. Now that not knowing how is just ignorant. And everybody can be ignorant, not know how, and that's not evil. That just you can go to heaven ignorant. But you don't have to. You can learn. Now, stupid. That's another story. Being ignorant and being stupid is two different things. Ignorance just not knowing. Stupids won't do. I said something there. Don't be stupid and just not do. See, I'm fixing to tell you how to get to be like that horse that can be guided by God. You see, God says, I'll guide you with my eye, but you have to learn how to let him do that. That means you have to take the training, get involved in what he's doing, and get involved in doing it his way. Now, let me just tell you this. If you ask me a question, I know all the answers. Just ask my wife down there. She can tell you. I know all the answers. But that doesn't mean they're right. Amen. Thank you. That amen was my wife. She and I have been together for 54 years this last month. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. She's a good wife. I found a good thing. When I called her a good thing one time, she didn't like that. Bible says he that's found a wife has found a good thing. So I thought I'd call her a good thing and she didn't like it. She said, my name's Chloe. I said, okay. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you about being trained or becoming good soil. Now Jesus speaks parables. In the Bible, God gives parables all along. You know what I didn't do, Mark? I didn't turn my... I'll just leave it. You're going to have to give me a disc anyway.
We got it
going. Good. I brought my little recorder, but I didn't turn it on. Hallelujah. I forgot, Mama. Matthew chapter 13. Go with me to Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to talk about becoming good soil. Jesus uses parables all through the Scripture. The Bible says in one place, without a parable, he did not speak to them. So that means only with parables did he speak to them. And so when you read the Gospels and Jesus is talking, you can pretty well know he's talking in parables. And that means that he's using some natural picture to give you a spiritual truth. And if you read it and you don't understand it, you better be asking questions. Let me tell you what's stupid. The only dumb or stupid question is the one you didn't ask. Just because you think you know what he's talking about doesn't really mean you do. I'm 72 years old. I've been in church since my earliest memories are 3 years old. I received Jesus when I was 11, baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 28. And I still don't know it all and understand it all, but I'm not afraid to ask questions. When I run up on something in the Scripture that I don't understand, I say, okay, God, what's that mean? I want to know. I want to understand. And so don't be afraid to ask questions. You say, well, I asked God a question and he didn't give me an answer. Well, maybe he did and you just didn't know it. Yeah, maybe you didn't listen. Maybe he sent you somebody to tell you and they told you, and because it was different than what you were thinking, you rejected it. We do that. I've done that. Don't be afraid to listen. Don't be afraid to examine. God doesn't mind you asking questions if you're asking so you can know, so you can do. If you're asking questions so you can argue and prove your point, he doesn't have time for you. Are you hearing me? All right. Matthew chapter 13, verse 3. Now, we're going to talk about how to become good soil. He spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. I got another one here. Don't worry about it. As he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. And others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, and some 30. And then he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, everybody out there has ears on the side of their head. So he's not talking about having ears on the side of your head. He's talking about having a heart that's open and willing to receive the truth that he's given. And if you don't understand, being willing to ask. Look at verse 10. His disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? They could have said us, but they just like you and me. They didn't want to let on that they didn't know either. Why do you speak to them? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. The reason it wasn't given to the crowd was because the crowd didn't ask the question. Listen to me, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. God Almighty does not answer questions you do not ask. I'll say it again. God Almighty does not answer questions you do not ask. He will not give you information that you're not asking for. Because if you're not asking, you don't want to know. That's right. Y'all looking at me funny. God does love you. He loves you so much, he'll let you go without knowing if you won't ask. Because You're in effect, when you don't ask, you're in effect saying, I already know. He said, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. And I could insert there, because they did not ask. The disciples asked. They were kind of slipping in sideways when they asked, but God loved them enough and was merciful enough to recognize that they needed to be included in that too. Why do you speak to them in parables? He was speaking to those disciples in parables too. Okay, so there's four types of soil that's made mention here. The wayside soil, or that's the soil of the pathway. It's packed down. It's soil that's been walked on. And it's packed down, and when the seed falls on it, it just lays there. And the birds come and carry it off. Now, let me give you a little understanding here. You didn't ask, but I'm not God, so I'll give you an answer. These types of soil represent the hearts of men. You see, just like a seed was designed to be planted in the soil, so it is, the seed of God's Word was designed to be planted in the hearts of men. The soil was designed to be the medium, the matrix in which the seed germinates. But the seed has to get in the soil. And here, this packed down soil, this walked on soil. Did you know some folks have been walked on so much, their hearts are hard, and they don't even trust God? They don't trust anybody, and they don't even trust God. They don't trust anybody that says anything about God. Some folks been hurt in the church. Sometimes the church is not a safe place. Sometimes. I've been around this place a while, and it's a safe place if you draw near. Because I've been knowing Mark for more than 20, well, go back 80, 85. How long ago is that? That's 25 years. I've been knowing him, and I've been watching him. I've had a close relationship with him for the last 15. He's a man of God. And if you haven't figured that out, you need to wake up. Amen. I'm serious. He's got your well-being at heart, or he wouldn't be here. Amen. He could do a lot of other things than put up with the likes of us. He was a successful businessman. I know. But God called him out to minister to his people. So you got a man here that loves God and loves you. Amen. What's the matter with y'all? You don't believe me? You believe he loves you?
Yes.
You should.
Yes.
If you don't know him, you can get to know him. You can get to know this place. All right. So there's the first type of soil is a wayside soil. It's been packed down. There's a stony soil or shallow soil. It says, some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth and immediately sprang up. And because they had no depth of earth, but when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. The seed that was planted in the shallow soil, shallow in the sense that it was only so deep and there were rocks and hard places underneath, and there wasn't enough depth of earth to provide enough moisture, and when the sun came up, it withered. When Jesus gave the understanding of that, he says, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. I'm reading in verse 20 if you want to know. Yet has no root in himself, 21, but endures only for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Sometimes people stumble because of the pressure that comes because of the word. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. Anytime you turn your attention towards God, the enemy immediately begins to send stress, strain, and opposition in your life. Amen. Now, sometimes along the way, when you turn to God, God puts pressure on you too, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But the enemy will put pressure on you, put tribulation to keep you from holding on, sticking with it, and moving further into the purposes of God. Because once you turn your attention towards the Word and the Spirit of God and begin to on purpose obey, if He can't get you diverted, you become a threat to Him and His kingdom. So, the stony soil or the shallow soil, the seed doesn't take root and stay because of the pressure that comes. I heard a man say this one time, and at first I stressed a little bit about it, but then I began to look and I saw it was true. He said some Christians are kind of shallow. You say, well, that's not a nice thing to say. Well, if it's the truth, it's the truth. Some Christians are shallow. The only reason why is because there's still some stony places in their heart that haven't been plowed out yet. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, but I'm going to talk to you about the four kinds of soil. Actually, there's three that need to be worked on, and then the Bible makes mention of good soil. Where we're going is to show you what it takes to become good soil. Or to become a horse that's trained, that can be guided by his eye. Soil that produces a harvest, or a horse that is can be guided by the eye, it's the same thing. Both produce something. But it takes training, discipline, to get there. Just because you receive Jesus. Listen, I'm telling you, I've been in church all my life. I kind of have to agree with a thing that anybody ever hear a guy named Kenneth Hagin? Ever hear that name? I heard him say this close to 30 years ago. He said he just turned 60 and he said the Lord told him, said, I about got you where I can use you. That's what the Lord told him. He said, I about finally got you where I can use you. He said, well, God, what about all? He said, that was just training. You say, you mean God didn't take that long? You see, what our problem is, we don't understand that. Something God told me, he said, don't be in a hurry because what I'm doing in your life is going to take the rest of your life. Amen. Thank you, Tony. Did you get that meal fixed? Yes, sir. Praise God. God's not in a hurry. He'll work on you as long as you have breath to make soil out of you that's good soil that'll produce a harvest, or to bring you to the place of being able to be guided by His eye. Amen. That you go where He's looking. Amen. Now, the thorny soil, I call that the difficult soil. That's the soil, it says, some fell among thorns and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Now, there were other things growing in this soil. How many of you know most folks have other stuff growing in their heart when they come to Jesus? And sometimes that stuff they got growing in their heart, actually, they wouldn't admit it to you. We wouldn't admit it, but sometimes it's more important than the seed of God's Word. Yeah, we do. I can tell you, we do that. Business, job, kids, friends, hobbies. You say, well, anything wrong with those things? No. But as I heard a man say just the other day, those things are not God. But sometimes we treat them like they are. You have to put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He read it. Your pastor read it to you. Seek ye first the kingdom. The kingdom is the rule of God. So seek first to be under the rule of God. Don't be under the rule of your family, your business, your job, your hobby. I know some guys that they're under the rule of a thing called golf. They have to play golf 4 or 5 times a week, or something went, just everything got broke and went to hell. That's true. Whatever. If Almighty God is not first, He's not Lord. Amen. And if He's not Lord of all in your life, He's not Lord at all. Now, He's still God, and He still loves you. But if you want to be good soil, there's some things you have to do. You say, well, when are you going to tell us? I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I just want to talk to you about the different kind. See, I think probably these four types of soil, the wayside soil that's packed and hardened, the stony soil that's kind of shallow and doesn't have much depth, the thorny soil that's difficult, that's got other things growing, and then the good soil, probably each of us have places in our heart where we are like all of those things. Probably. Amen. So what am I going to do? Well, I'll tell you what the Lord gave me. There's probably some farmers here, or people that, if you're not farmers now, used to be. This place back here behind where Pastor Mark lives, I see they grow a crop out there every year. And anytime I see something growing, it looks like it does pretty good, pretty green out there. And I hear tales occasionally that they made a good crop and things went well. But that piece of ground out there didn't start out that way. Back here behind us on this side, there's a whole bunch of trees and stuff, just all kinds of stuff growing out there. Do you know what I think? Now, I don't know this, can't prove it, but I'm about 98% sure the soil over on this side is the same kind of soil as that right across the road, except this over here has been worked on. And if I wanted to take that, if I say I just had 40 acres of land that was all grown up in trees and bushes and thorns and all kinds of stuff, if it'll grow trees and thorns and bushes, it'll grow something you can eat. But you got to work on it. And that's what God starts out with in the hearts of men, is 40 acres of ground that's all grown up in other stuff, or is packed down, or shallow and got stony places in it. The soil has to be worked. That land over there, now I was raised around on a small farm and raised around farmers. Many of my grandfather and my uncles, even my dad farmed to some degree. And I'm old enough that I walked behind a mule with a plow several times. A trained mule, yeah. He knew what G and haw was. We have to learn what G and haw is.
Yeah, amen.
Anyway, if I had 40 acres of ground that was grown up in trees, if I had the right kind of equipment, I could go in there and cut those trees down. I could take bulldozers and doze out those stumps. Dig them out. I could take that same dozer and with a root plow, I could go through that land and plow up all the roots. And then I could take another tractor with what we used to call a breaking plow and go in there and plow up that soil, turn it over down deep, turn it over, and then take a disc and run across it and break it up in little tiny pieces. And do that 2 or 3 times, and then bring a harrow and flatten it out and smooth it out, and then come in there with another tractor with plows on it that could make furrows, then I could plant a crop. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? Well, that didn't happen in 15 minutes. With 40 acres of fresh ground, that might have taken a year or two to do all of that, to get the land in shape. I think that's what the farmers used to say, they had to get the land in shape. Well, brothers and sisters, God's got to get you in shape.
Amen.
And it does not just happen. Now, that 40 acres of ground, I can do all that stuff to it, and the land don't ever say anything. It just lays there. But that ain't the way it is with you. Because the difference between you and that land is you got a will. But God's still got to get you in shape.
Amen.
He's still got to plow in your life. He's still got to get the growth that he doesn't want out of there. And you have to be willing to let him do that. Well, the Apostle Paul said it this way. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Don't be shaped and molded by the world, but be transformed, be shaped, be brought and put into position by the renewing of your mind or changing your thinking. Changing your thinking. You say, well, how do we do that? Well, look at Matthew chapter 28. Now, Jesus had 12 old boys, and they were just good old boys. They just guys. They weren't, none of them highly educated. There was four of them that were fishermen. There was one of them that was an IRS man. He was. Luke, he's a tax, not Luke, but Matthew, he was a tax collector. And how many of you know Luke was not one of the disciples? Luke was a guy that followed around. He was a latecomer. He followed around with Paul. Luke was not one of the original 12 disciples. You say, well, he wrote one of the books. Yeah, he did, but he wasn't one of the disciples. Matthew and John were. Mark wasn't. Mark was probably the nephew of a guy named Barnabas. So in the book of Matthew, Jesus says in verse 18, and this is when he was going back to the Father. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That's a whole lot of authority. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, or because I have this authority, he's saying, go therefore and make disciples, or go plow some ground. You see, what the farmer does with the ground, he disciples the land. All that process that I told you about, cutting down the trees, getting that, digging out the stumps, rooting out the roots, breaking the ground, disking the ground, harrowing the ground, and making furrows, that's disciplining or discipling the land so it can produce something. You say, well, what's that got to do with me? Well, it has everything to do with you. You see, brothers and sisters, let me just say something to you. The church at large, now listen closely to what I'm going to say. This may stress some of you a little bit, but it's all right. You can get over it because it's the truth. The church at large did not listen to what Jesus said or did not understand. He said, go make disciples. He did not say, go make converts. He did not say, go save souls. He said, go make disciples. You see, there's another verse. Now, I know I'm messing with your heads a little bit, but I'm doing it on purpose. Because I want you to think. You say, well, people don't need to be saved. Jesus already did what it takes to be saved. What he's wanting to happen is for you and me to, as believers, to seek first the kingdom of God, to be what he said that we are, the light of the world and the salt of the earth. If you be what God says you are, then other folks will want what you have. But you know, the world is mostly staying away from the church because the church hasn't acted on fully what Jesus said. He said, go make disciples. And then in another place, he told his apostles, and this is Matthew chapter 10. You ought to read the book of Matthew. It's really, you could do nothing but read Matthew for the next year, and it would help your thinking a whole lot. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 and 8, he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. He didn't tell them to go teach people how to go to heaven. See, that's what the church has done. The church has taught us how to go to heaven. You say, well, you don't believe in heaven? I do. I'll be there one day, but that ain't where I'm going to stay. Now, I'm really messing with your head now, I know. Oh, Lord, forgive me, Mark. Heaven and earth is coming down. What did John say? Amen. I saw a new heaven and I saw a new earth, what? Coming down. Here's another deal. Psalms 115, verse 16, Old Testament. The heaven of heavens belongs to the Lord, but the earth he's given to the children of men. And so the church has tried to teach people how to go to heaven, and nobody wants to go right now.
That's right.
Ain't nobody wants to go to heaven right now. You know why? The only way you can go there is to die. Nobody wants to, any of y'all, yeah, I got a load going out there. You want to go? Come on, let's go get on. Ain't nobody wants to go. The church is, I'm telling you, the church missed what Jesus said. He didn't say go teach people how to go to heaven. He said go teach them how to live in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Make
Amen.
Disciples and teach them how to live. Disciple the land. Teach them how to be guided by my eye. Teach them how to be like a horse that doesn't need a bridle. God Almighty is not going to put a bridle on you.
Amen.
He don't want to do that. He wants you to learn how to look to Him, trust Him. And here's how it works, brothers and sisters. You have to, first of all, get in that book. How many of you got more than one? How many of you got more than one Bible? I bet you got more than three. I got 25 or 30. So he said, go make disciples, teaching them, training them, discipling them in what I've taught you. You see, those 12 guys, one of them was a knucklehead and went and did his own thing. And the rest of them weren't a whole lot smarter. Well, not really. Because Peter denied him. And the rest of them just run. They did. Just read the book. Teaching them, he said, what I've taught you. Now, again, I'm going to tell you what Paul said. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, So, the renewing of the mind, the changing of your thinking, or I could use another word, repentance. The word repent, the Greek word for that is metanoia, which just means to change the mind. Look in your Bibles at Acts chapter 2, verse 38. That's a favorite verse. Acts chapter 2. Now, Acts 2:38 is good doctrine if it's understood properly. The whole Bible is good doctrine if it's understood properly. You see, we took Matthew 28:18-19, and where he said, go make disciples, the church just went and made converts, converted them to our way of thinking. You say, well, we got them saved. Yeah, we did. But you know what most saved folks are? They're just ground that hadn't been disciplined, discipled, trained, plowed yet. And therefore, they cannot bring forth a harvest in their lives. Acts 2:38, Peter said, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right, do you know what he said right there? He's just saying, change your thinking about who Jesus is. Come to an understanding of who he really is and what he really came to do. He came to, listen to me. He came to restore to man what Adam lost in the garden.
Amen.
Now listen, Adam, I want you to think about this. Adam did not lose heaven. Adam lost the kingdom because God said, let them have dominion. Dominion and kingdom are related words. Adam lost the kingdom. You say, well, what do you mean he didn't lose heaven? He disobeyed God. Well, you did too. God gave him some skins. You know what those skins mean? That there was an animal that died and shed its blood, which was a foreshadowing, a picture of the one Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, that not only covers us, but washes us and cleanses us.
Amen.
Amen. Now, before I forget it, I want to give you a key verse here in Matthew chapter 9. That has to do with this discipleship thing. You see, listen to me, brother and sister. Being discipled and going to church is not the same thing. You can go to church all your life and never be discipled a bit. Just because you've been in church a long time doesn't mean you got anything going yet. You may know how to do the church thing, but do you know how to do the kingdom thing? There's a big difference between a kingdom thing and a church thing.
Amen.
And they should be the same, but they're not presently. The church culture that we live in and a kingdom culture today is not necessarily the same thing. It should be. We're coming to that understanding. And the reason why, listen, I was raised up in the church culture that, my biggest deal was to get to go to heaven because that's what they told me. But Jesus said, seek first the kingdom. As you go preach, say the kingdom of God is at hand. I didn't hear that. They didn't say that. They taught me how to go to heaven, how to miss hell. Matthew chapter 9. See, if you read the book and ask questions, you'll get some other answers to what the church culture has given us. Verse 9:35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of how to go to heaven. Is that what your Bible says? The gospel of the kingdom. The good news of the rule of God in a man's life in the earth today.
preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness. He was demonstrating the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." Now, let me tell you how the church is in the past has interpreted that. That means we got to go get a bunch of people saved so we can make some more laborers. Well, one day I was reading that scripture, some years ago I was reading that scripture, and the Lord spoke up and said, "Do you know what that word few means?" And I said, "Well, probably. That's a mistake." He said, "Well, you ought to go look." And so I went and looked at that word few. The Greek word that's translated few means small in degree and extent, not just small in number. Now, it can be small in number, but it means small in degree or extent or puny. I said, "My God, the laborers are puny." I said, "Why are the laborers puny?" He said, "Because the church has taken someone from being an unbeliever, got them saved, made a believer out of them, and then we made a laborer out of them." And he said, "You skipped a step. You take somebody from being an unbeliever to making a believer out of them, then you disciple them, and then you make a laborer out of them." The reason the laborers are puny is because they've skipped the step of discipleship. They don't really know what's going on. You can go get a bunch of people saved. You can get people to go tell them that God's good and He loves them, and if they'll just receive Jesus, God will save them. Well, getting saved is not hard. It's the being disciples where the stress comes in, boys and girls. And the church is a whole lot like Israel of old was. You know what? You want to know what that is? Yeah, gimme, gimme. God said to Israel, "I give you the land." And they went and spied out the land. And they got over there and they found out there were giants and there were walled cities and there was all kinds of obstacles. Oh, there was good land. It had good crops. There were grapes big enough. It took two guys to carry a load of them off of one vine. And everything was land with milk and honey, but there were giants in the land. And they were bigger than they were. But God said, "I give you the land." It don't make any difference how big the giants are. If God said it's yours and that He's with you, it don't make any difference how big the giants are. But you see, their hearts hadn't been plowed. They still had roots of other things growing. And so the key to kingdom living, brothers and sisters, is being discipled. Being trained. Did you know the U.S. Army is smarter than the church presently is? The U.S. Army takes guys in, and first thing they do is they cut their hair off and give them a number. And then they send them to boot camp, and they start training them. And they make them do what they don't want to do. They change their mind. You say, "Well, I don't need anybody telling me what to do." That's your problem. Because you do need somebody telling you what to do. I need somebody telling me what to do. I need to learn how to submit to the Word and the Spirit of God. And here's a little secret. I even need to learn how to submit to the Word and the Spirit of God coming through another man. Now that's really where the rubber meets the road. You say, well, I don't want nobody telling me what to do. Well, yeah, I understand. I've been there and done that. But I'm telling you, God, did you know that the only vessel that God has to work with in this earth is a man? Now, he did use a donkey once. He did use a donkey. And he could do that, but what we have to do is to learn how to walk with God, seeking first the rule of God in our lives. Look for a people and look for a place where the kingdom's being taught, where the precepts of the kingdom are being given and demonstrated and lived, and open your heart up and decide that you're going to be discipled, that you're going to decide you're going to let God have His way. Because He doesn't have anything but a man or a woman of God to disciple you. Paul makes mention of this, and I'm going to quit with this. I can't give you the scripture right now, but you can go find it later. Paul is writing a letter to one of the churches, and he said, I don't have anybody but Timothy to send to you. Because he's the only one that thinks and teaches and lives the way I do. Paul discipled, trained, fathered Timothy. And Timothy had learned the ways. Does anybody here think Paul's ways might have been right? You read his letters that God used him to write down. So he had something going on, and he imparted that to Timothy. We say, well, we don't have no Pauls in the earth today. You'd be surprised what you got in this earth today. Where's that? What's the name of that place, Pastor Mark, where you say you were come from? That Bayou, whatever. Bayou Blanc? He's a Bayou Blanc. And look what God did with a Bayou Blanc right here. He told you the truth. That ain't him that did that. That's the Word and the Spirit of God working in him. That's the power of God working in his life. He said, well, my God, it's taken so long. Well, what's the matter with you? How come is it taking so long with God to do something with you? You see, God can only work with you as you present yourself to Him. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. It says it's your reasonable service. The Amplified says something about it's your reasonable, intelligent service and spiritual worship to get your mind renewed, to learn to think like God thinks, so you can talk like God talks and act like God acts in the earth. That's the kingdom of God being made manifest. And you have to get your heart plowed. You have to get your heart discipled, disciplined, trained. It is absolutely not going to just happen. All these trees growing back on this, what is this, the east side? What direction is that? I thought it was east. On the east side of this building, all that stuff growing out there, and it never going to grow corn until all that stuff cut down, plowed up, rooted out. Won't grow soybeans until all that stuff's plowed up, rooted up, and the land discipled. Now, it can grow corn or soybeans, but it won't until the land is discipled. And you can produce the fruit of the kingdom in your life. You're God's people. You're saved. You're going to heaven. But that's not what God's looking for right now. He absolutely does not need you in heaven. If He did, how come He don't send somebody along with a Glock and just send you on? You understand what I just said. He doesn't need you there. He put you here in this earth on purpose with a destiny. But you have to decide and get committed to allowing Him to plow in your life, to disciple, to train you His way, not your way, His way. And I don't care if you've been in church for 40 years. I don't care. And if you don't like it, I love you, but I don't mind if you're upset. I don't mind, because maybe some folks, that's the only way I can get their attention, get them upset. You might get upset enough, you'd go look and see maybe, is that old man got any truth at all in what he's saying? Praise the Lord. Stand up with me. All right, let's say this. Let's make a declaration. Would you trust me enough to lead you in a declaration?
Amen.
Say this with me. Father in heaven,
I thank you
that your word
is
a light to my path.
It's
a lamp unto
my feet.
I submit myself, Lord,
to
your discipline,
your training.
Plow in my life.
Root out
what needs to be rooted out.
Cut out
what needs to be cut out.
Teach me.
Train me.
Send to me
the one
that you would have
disciple and train
me,
that I might
become
good soil.
A horse
that is moved and directed
by your eye.
I thank you for it.
In
Jesus'
name.
Amen.
Now
I'm looking at a young man right there. Raise your hand, young man. You. Did you come up here a while ago for prayer? Wasn't you? Sure looked like you. Well, I'm going to get you anyway. Come here. I want to tell you something. How old are you, son? 14. 14, good. That's good. If you will allow me, God wants me to impart something to you. Would you do that? My name is Melvin, and my name means sword friend or sword chief. The Word of God is very much alive and available in me and through me. God purposed it that way. But I gave myself to that. And God is telling me to tell you that if you will allow Him, He wants me to release to you and impart to you a desire, a hunger, and a thirst for God's Word and God's purpose. If you will allow me to do that, I will release that to you. It's in me. And it's called impartation. Would you allow me to do that? Okay. You see, son, God loves you. He has His hand on you. And has a purpose in your life. And as you allow me to do this, God will begin to work in your life and begin to cause you to have insight and understanding and a desire for His purpose in your life. Okay? Praise God. Who's this young man's parents? Now, sister, is it all right with you if I do that? Okay, I don't want to step past any boundaries. Praise God. Let me just lay hands on you, son. Father, I thank you and I praise you for the blessing and the privilege that you give us. Father, as we draw near to you, you said you'd draw near to us. And Lord, I release into this young man the giftings and the callings concerning the word, concerning teaching, concerning ministry, concerning calling. I release into him that you've placed in me. And I speak life and light and liberty to him. And Father, I thank you that you're making good soil, bringing forth a good harvest in this young man's life. And I thank you, Father, and I praise you for the privilege in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, What is your name, son?
James.
James? Let me tell you something. Son, I'm going to just put my arm around you. One time I was in a situation. Don't go away, sister. It's all right. You stand here. This is your son, right? No, that's all right. You just stand there. You're a blessed person. The Lord told me one time that dead men don't react. Now, I won't go into how all that come about, but I watched this young man. He doesn't know me, but the Spirit of God was on him. I saw the reaction. I even saw the tears. Boys don't want to cry, but he couldn't help because the Spirit of God come on him. And tears came. Dead men don't react. This man is very much alive in the Word, in the Spirit of God. I love you, son. And God's purpose in your life is good. And you might go to Pastor Mark at some point and ask him to show you, point you to whoever God speaks to him about to begin to work with you and to help you. It makes no difference. Paul told Timothy, he was a man probably in his 30s at this time.